This is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some great guests on. In the first half, we're going to have Dr. Sandy Milgram, and he is a dermatologist, and we're going to listen to skincare. And then in the second half, we have Reverend Connie Habash, who's the author of the new book, Awakening from Anxiety. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
Bad eating habits begin at a young age in American children, a new study finds. Researchers analyzed data from more than 1,200 babies aged 6 to 11 months and toddlers 12 to 23 months between 2011 and 2016. They found that 61% of babies and 98% of toddlers consumed added sugars in their typical daily diet, mainly in flavored yogurt and fruit drinks. Infants consumed about 1 teaspoon of added sugars daily. Toddlers consumed about 6 teaspoons. The main sources of added sugar for infants were yogurt, snacks, and sweet bakery products. For toddlers, the top sources were fruit drinks, sweet baked products, and candy. The study was published online November 14th in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Many Americans believe they are likely to develop dementia, and they often turn to unproven ways to try to better their odds, a new study suggests. In a survey, researchers found that almost half of Americans in their 50s and 60s believed they were at least somewhat likely to develop dementia, yet few, 5%, said they'd talked to their doctor about ways to lower their risk. Instead, one-third or more were taking fish oil, vitamin E, or other supplements to help ward off memory decline, even though none have been proven to have such benefits. Lead researcher Dr. Donovan Most, a geriatric psychiatrist at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, said that might reflect excitement over initial research suggesting that certain supplements might ward off memory decline. The findings were published online November 15th in JAMA Neurology. Hiccups appear to help babies regulate their breathing, researchers say. CNN reported that Lorenzo Fabrizi, University College of London, England, said their study of 13 newborns found that hiccuping triggered brain activity that might help infants learn how to monitor the breathing muscles, eventually resulting in the ability to control breathing voluntarily. He explained, when we are born, the circuits which process body sensations are not fully developed, so the establishment of such networks is a crucial developmental milestone for newborns. The researchers noted that hiccuping is common among fetuses and newborns and begins as early as 9 weeks into pregnancy. Here's some worrisome news for folks who manage to survive a heart attack. New research suggests they might be far more vulnerable to developing cancer down the road. People who suffered a heart health scare, a heart attack, heart failure, or dangerously erratic heart rhythm, had a more than sevenfold increased risk for subsequently developing cancer compared to those with healthy tickers, researchers said. Lead researcher Dr. Emily Lau, a cardiology fellow at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, said they found that people with certain risk factors for heart disease had an increased risk of cancer, and more intriguingly, they found that individuals who ended up developing heart disease had a significantly increased risk of future cancer. The findings are based on data from the Framingham Heart Study, a famous decades-long research project following the heart health of people living in the small town of Framingham, Massachusetts. The findings were presented recently at the American Heart Association annual meeting in Philadelphia.
We have Dr. Sandy Milgram with us today. He's the Associate Clinical Professor at Rutgers Medical School, and he has an integrative approach to skin care. So we'd love to hear all about some of the ways that you take good care of skin, Sandy. It's nice to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Kathy.
Can you tell us a little bit about the work you do around dermatology?
Well, I take care of adults and children, and I try to combine the standard cares along with some integrative approaches, which is interesting because when I started, I hate to say this, 35 years ago, that was frowned upon to have an integrative approach. But over the years, we've discovered that there's a lot of over-the-counter products or natural products that definitely can help in complementing what we do in as a university-trained dermatologist.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the treatments that you come up against? What are you usually treating with these children or adults?
Well, with everything from wounds to psoriasis, atopic dermatitis. There's a lot of good evidence that psoriasis is definitely related to what we have in our diet. In terms of wound healing, we wanted to talk about this new study that we done that we did a couple of years ago, looking at an oregano extract to heal wounds better, and so things like that.
Okay, And using oregano, which is, is there a difference between the oregano you use and the oregano I have to make spaghetti?
Yes, and in fact, oregano was first, the first doctor to realize that oregano had tremendous healing powers, and in fact it's known as nature's antibiotic, was 2,400 years ago when Hippocrates, the father of all Western medicine, discovered that oregano heals wounds miraculously. The problem, and other things as well, I used it for infections, for dermatitis, cuts on the skin, what have you. But the problem is that there's an oil that's inside of there, inside of the oregano, when you distill it out of the leaves, that causes contact dermatitis. So it fell out of favor until about 10 years ago when scientists, plant scientists in our area, took out the oil, which is called the essential oil. When they say the word essential, it doesn't mean it's essential for anything. It just means it's the essence of the product, the aromatic, the thing that gives oregano largely what it smells like. And they actually tested it, and they found that it has tremendous antibacterial or antimicrobial effects. In fact, it kills Staph aureus, which is the bug that causes most abscesses on the skin. It kills strep, which causes strep throat and a lot of cellulitis, which is an infection underneath the skin. It even kills the bacteria that causes acne, and also another one that's the bane of people that go into the hospital, which is called C. difficile, which causes horrible diarrhea. So it kills all these things without causing contact dermatitis. And so as a result of that, they took this water-soluble extract, and now it's used largely in the United States. I'm not 100% sure about Canada, but I know in the United States it's licensed as a food preservative now. So rather than having chemical food preservatives, they actually use this water-soluble extract as a preservative to put into foods, and then you can... you don't have to worry about getting infections. In fact, the Purdue Chicken Company, a very, very big company in the United States, actually, they use oregano oil. They use the original oregano oil, and they feed it to their chickens so that you don't get these horrible infections. So there's a lot with oregano and with this water-soluble oregano extract.
So that's so that their chickens don't get infections, or that the meat and the eggs don't have problems?
Infections, but they don't spread these bacteria to us when the chick. You know, you're really supposed to cook your chickens well.
Right.
Some people don't. They have it a little raw, and then you hear these horror stories about infections. So this way the chickens are not going to spread any type of infection.
And you're feeding them not the essential oil, but distillation, a water distillation? Is that it?
What's that?
What exactly were you, in what form would you use the oregano for the chickens?
Well, yeah, people sometimes take that as they gargle with it because it does have that antibacterial effect. Some people take it orally, but the problem is you can't put that on your skin. So if you go online and you order oregano oil, you're going to, there's at least the 10% of people that get horrible contact dermatitis from it. It's almost sort of like poison ivy dermatitis. And that's the beauty of this water-soluble extract, like I said, that was developed at Rutgers.
So you don't want people running out and getting oregano essential oil and trying to use it in the ways that you're talking about today?
They could take it orally, but not on their skin, because that's when the problems arise. And that's why when we were first presented with this, we wanted to see, what effect it would have on wound healing. The problem now is that most doctors, they do a little surgery, and they recommend an antibacterial ointment, something that contains something called Neosporin or Bacitracin. And the problem now is 5 to 10% of people are now become allergic to that. So you do your surgery, you put that the antibacterial ointment on the cut of the surgical site, and then it blows up, and everyone thinks it's infected when they're actually just allergic to the antibacterial ointment.
Wow.
So we wanted to see whether or not this oregano water-soluble extract could be used in place of the standard antibacterial ointment.
So, Sandy, anytime you're doing surgery now, you're using this oregano product to put onto the surgical wounds?
We actually did a study at the Rutgers Medical School, a double-blind study. That's where the doctors don't know what we're giving and
right.
The patients don't know. It's called double-blind placebo-controlled. I know you know, but the people listening, you know. So we gave 20 patients Vaseline, and 20 patients got Vaseline with this oregano water-soluble extract. And then when we broke the code and looked at the pictures, it was amazing because the ones that got the oregano extract, the wounds had less redness, had less pigmentation. They were more pliable or the more flexible. There was less scarring. But the amazing thing is there was less infections. There were three times as many infections where they used just Vaseline. And when we cultured the wounds, they were bad organisms on the ones that used the Vaseline, but not the oregano water-soluble extract in a petroleum type of base.
So just adding a petroleum-based product like Vaseline was actually creating an environment for the bad guys.
Exactly.
Wow. If you're using the oregano ointment that you have, does it have the same properties as an antibiotic that it would kill the good and bad guys, or is it just killing the bad bacteria?
Well, it actually kills all the bacteria that are there, but we're just using it in a localized area.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that, which brings up a whole interesting point, you know, everyone talks about probiotics and taking that orally and your gut and everything. Well, we have normal bacteria that grow on our skin and protect us. They're called commensal organisms that we need. And so I always tell the patients, you know, they're scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing the skin. I always tell them, you're getting rid of the good ones, and the bad guys are going to move on your skin. So you could use water, but to use soaps and these body washes and taking off all the oils and what have you, I mean, in sensitive areas, you need a little bar soap. But otherwise, unless your skin is really soiled, you're better off not scrubbing it. Now, when you do a skin surgery, the skin is open, and it leaves it open for not only the good organisms that are there, but it allows the bad organisms to move in.
Yes. And so this putting this biofilm or this film of the oregano over it is actually keeping it moist, getting rid of any bad bacteria, and helping it to heal.
Yeah, since the 1960s, doctors have realized, you know, when I was a kid, showing how old I am, they always said, let the air get to the wound, let it dry out. But during the 60s, they actually did studies, and if you keep a wound moist, for example, with petrolatum on there, with a Vaseline type of thing, it allows the skin cells to move one over top of the other, and wounds definitely heal up quicker and better if they're kept moist. So that's why this particular product is in that type of a Vaseline type of a base, and so that they heal up quicker and, again, with less infection.
Hmm. Do you think that moving to a vegetal base over earth base, like a petroleum, would be more beneficial for the skin?
Well, that's the next study. The only thing is that most healing ointments, in order to be licensed as a healing ointment, they have to have petrolatum in them. But we would like to do it with a natural, more natural type of base because, you know, again, sustainable, renewable, all that sort of business. Which the oregano is. I mean, in fact, a lot of people don't know what I'm talking about is what they used to do is they would take oregano leaves and they would steam them. It's called steam distillation to get the essential oil out. And they used to take the leaves that were left behind and throw them out, put them in a landfill, until the scientists started looking at those leaves, and that's where this water-soluble extract comes from. So it's really a renewable resource, and it's actually a very cool way to get the product out of these leaves.
Fascinating. So basically, it's a decoction or a steep tea. We're going to have to go to a quick break, Sandy, and when we come back, we're going to continue learning about oregano for the skin.